Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to the Stay Up Podcast. My name is Jim Dacian. I'm author of the book Stay Up Los Angeles Street Art, and today I am very excited to welcome Caesar. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm really good. I'm really excited to talk to you because I really want to dig into a little bit of your past and learn a little bit more about how you came to do what you do now. But perhaps we can just start with a little bit of origin and where the name Caesar comes from.
Yeah, sure. It came from a graffiti background, I guess, back in 93 or 94 in high school. Some friends and I started painting, just doing some tags. There was a really cool train yard in the town that I grew up in, so we went out there and painted some trains. And it came from a, I think it was like a Fat magazine I think it was Hype, the Australian graffiti magazine. They did a feature on, I think it was the Rocksteady Crew, and one of the members was Little C's, but it was C-E-A-S-E. And I was like, oh, that's cool. So I painted that for a short time, and then I moved on to S-E-E-S, and then discovered C's, you know, to take forcibly. And I was like, oh, that's kind of hard. I'll take that. And it just kind of evolved from there. And, you know, I think over the years I've sort of detach myself from it, and I don't really, you know, identify and love the moniker so much. I think that it's more about the icon is what I'm into.
Okay. So then in terms of your real name, is that something that you promote then on your artwork as well?
How do you mean? I mean, go ahead.
No, it's an interesting thing because I don't know if it's an evolution or I'm curious how the moniker, obviously it's very important early on. I mean, you spent a lot of time developing it and changing and tweaking it, and it's still something that resonates today, but
yeah.
It seems to be what you explained to me, I'm guessing here, I'm estimating, is that it aligns more with the imagery now and less with you. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it may even go deeper, and you know, me wanting to be an artist and sort of creating this moniker and creating an icon and putting it out there, you know, I'm now realizing that could have been a way for me to kind of actually put myself out there for, you know, judgment without it actually being me personally. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Actually, that's actually wonderfully stated, because I don't think I've ever heard an artist, a street artist, actually say it quite like that. And it makes a lot of sense, actually.
Yeah.
So then how do you function now then, knowing that 94 or early 90s is when you first developed it?
Yeah. You know, I from my standpoint, I don't function with it very well. It's always kind of a battle because I'm rediscovering that now, that there seems to be a little bit more demand for the artwork of Caesar as opposed to the artwork of me, which is it's a little bit different. You know, like people, they see the face in the street, so they're like, oh, I want art with a face on it. And I'm like, well,
yeah,
I could do that, but it's not really, I don't sit in my, you know, studio and make art with the Caesar face so much. You know, if I'm going to make art, it's going to be something with crazy letters and script and textures. And I don't, you know what I mean? It could be something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. So it's been a little bit of a challenge to, I guess, balance those two.
Yeah, sure. Well, you just released a print of the Caesar face. Can you tell us a little bit more about how that face developed and how it relates to the name?
Yeah, definitely. So I guess to go way back real quick. Back in 2000, I was doing some paintings, a body work, large works, all with spray paint, and they were all portraits. and it was just really heavy, heavy contrast, you know, like big blocks of color. But if you stood back, you'd realize that it was, you know, a profile or something like that of a face. And that's when I kind of got fascinated with, wow, like, look at what people can pull out of just these big shapes of color. They can pull emotion. They can pull personality. They can sort of, you know, discover their own people in these blocks of shapes. And that's when I got fascinated with that. And so, you know, I created an icon based off of my own facial features that's now completely different. And it's been vectored and tweaked and, you know, sharpied and white-outed. And it's significantly different than my real face. But it's just kind of this interesting thing of, here's this big block of color, and then all these people have all these different interpretations of who and what that is. You know what I mean?
So what are some
I was going to say, the way the print came about is Seth Rogen went on my website and bought, you know, I think he bought like $50 in stickers or something, and, you know, bought all the prints. And I was like, wow, this is kind of weird. And at first I just sent him the stickers, you know, didn't think anything of it. And then it, somehow I saw his address and I was like, wow, I think this really is Seth Rogen. So I hit him up and, you know, just asked him flat out. And he's like, yeah, you know, when I first moved to LA, your stuff was everywhere and I followed it. And then I saw the Banksy movie and, you know, it kind of made me rediscover. And, you know, I you know, would love to have some art. And I'm like, yeah, sure, that sounds great. And I didn't hear from him for probably 3 months. I was like, oh, bummer, you know, missed opportunity. And then I just got a check in the mail for full amount. And I'm like, oh, okay, I guess it's back on. So I started creating this really wild piece that had nothing to do with the icon. You know, it had all this texture, and I was painting and, you know, collage and all these different colors. And it was kind of stuff that, you know, in my mind, personally, it was very new and fresh for what I was doing. And then I think I was talking to Buff, and he's like, well, what does he know of you, you know? And I'm like, oh, shit. Like, all he knows is the icon. I kind of had to scrap that first piece and then, you know, build it back up based on, you know, what does Seth Rogen know of me? Well, he knows all these posters and, you know, electrical boxes and all this stuff around LA. So I kind of just, you know, created a piece based on that. And it came out really good. I was really happy with it, which is usually not the case. I pretty much hate almost everything that I do. But this piece I was really stoked on. And I kind of took the top, the last layer that I put on, and, you know, made a print out of that. And it came out so good. I'm really happy with it.
Oh, good. That's a good story. I like that. It's interesting how you were almost pushed into this by someone who, you know, who has some influence to get you moving in that direction. So that's actually fascinating in many ways. Okay, so in terms of, is this something you want to continue to do, or is it you still, I mean, balancing this is going to be tough, isn't it, going forward? I'd imagine you have lots of fits over it in terms of sort of playing to what folks want and then what you sort of your heart desires in a way when you're an artist.
Yeah, big time. And that, like, that actually transfers into, you know, my life more than you think. Because I think back in like 04, 05, I was working for E! Entertainment, doing, you know, nothing creative at all. I was doing like network operation stuff. And I kept on saying to my girlfriend, now wife at the time, I was like, hey, you know, I wish I could just make a living from my creativity. And she's like, well, you know, just quit your job. And, you know, that's all you have to rely on is your creativity. And so I took her advice and I did it, and it was really hard. And I kind of fell into the apparel side of illustration and design and things like that. And it's just like, it's completely overwhelmed, you know, my career. And now that's all I do. And so looking back on it, it's almost like, yeah, sure, I declared to, you know, make a living from my creativity, But I didn't define the costs and limitations of that. You know what I mean? Like, I'll pretty much do anything you want, you know, for money. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Now, like, maybe I should take a step back and like actually figure out what makes me happy and what you know, brings creative self-expression and like get paid to do that as opposed to just getting paid to do anything creative.
Sure, sure. And so, are you referring to the clothing line then that you developed?
I've been in the apparel industry for, you know, 7 or 8 years now, and yeah, that's what I'm doing now, is acting as an art director, mainly freelance stuff. I work for a lot of different clients, but now I've been on one for almost a year and a half, so it's been a long time.
Okay, I see. But what is Caesar One Designs? Because your Facebook page also has that.
Yeah.
Is that a design thing that you've started, or is that just a way to differentiate your Facebook site?
Good question, man. I'm still figuring it out as we speak.
Okay.
Yeah, the Facebook page was more created as a platform to sort of fuse, the design stuff, the graphic design, the illustration, and the art of Caesar, you know, all in one. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of what that was intended to do. And I feel like it is kind of working. You know, if you go on my Instagram or whatever, it is kind of a fusion of, you know, doodles that I do throughout the day. You might see some T-shirt stuff. And you're going to see, you know, the print releases. You're going to see people sending me photos of stickers that they've seen and things like that. So it's taken a long time, but I do feel like that it's kind of coming together and sort of falling in the right categories, because for a long time I really could not figure that out. You know, even with my website, I'm
sure.
Like, God, do I pose it as an artist? Do I pose it as a designer? Do I, you know, because I do need to show it to clients and have people look at it, you know, for job prospects and stuff. But I also want people to look at it from an artist standpoint and also a place for people to go who've seen stuff in the street, you know, and they want to figure out what it is. I want a platform for that as well.
Sure. That's a lot of borders, too. Usually with just a designer in general, who also, you know, would classify themselves as an artist. Not that I love those distinctions. Get frustrated in terms of how do they see their identity. You know, the design work being for clients, the more personal artwork, and sometimes having two sites for that. So add into, you know, a specific type of clothing design, but also street art. I can see why you suffer from multiple personality disorder in a way. It's like, what am I today, and how do I balance this? And granted, it all, there's an underlying element, I would imagine, that is you and your personality and your passion that goes into each one, but the world kind of doesn't always operate that way. You know, the different customers, et cetera, push you in different ways. It's one of these fascinating things about street art, because it seems to bleed into all these aspects of society. And you certainly seem to be a really good example of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
So, I mean, going forward, I mean, what's the ideal for you then, looking down the road? Have you do you have some new goals in mind?
Yes and no. I am recently I felt a lot more comfortable, you know, with the print release, and things like that. Just sort of getting into sort of embracing, you know, the Caesar icon and the whole thing in itself, because for a long time I've sort of rejected the pasting and the sticker turning into an art thing. Like, I that wasn't really the intention at first, and so I've really been pushing that back and pushing that back and pushing that back. But now here we are coming up on 10 years, and people, you know, are wanting it, are interested in it, and there is a demand there. I'm now starting to be like, you know what, okay, I can embrace this. There's a way that I can do it and still feel like it was a authentic, you know, self-expression, and it came from me. So I think that's where it's at, man. I think it's time to start making, you know, more work similar to the print, or more work that's somewhat derivative of the street stuff, and mm-hmm. see where that goes. Because yeah, ultimately, I want to be an artist. I would love to make a living being an artist, and I think that I've kind of lost my path a little bit.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things. You are an artist, obviously, and I think I work with artists for a living in terms of at the university, and I know it's one of the hardest. I think it's one of the hardest jobs, sort of emotionally, to go through the things that you do to sort of wake up and to create and to get that. You're always putting yourself out there. It's kind of like standing nude in front of public. But yeah. You're always exposing yourself. And it's a nerve-wracking thing, so very much so. Well, so you mentioned a little bit about your friend Buff Monster. He was somebody that I interviewed early on in the process of the book, and we talked about you as well. And I know you guys were friends or roommates at a certain point. Can you tell me a little bit about that relationship and how it perhaps impacted your work or in relation to your street work?
Sure. I first saw Buff Monster stuff up in San Francisco. He went up there on a mission and was putting some posters up. I went to school in Santa Cruz at UCSC, and I had a girlfriend mm-hmm. in San Francisco, so I'd be going back and forth all the time. And I saw his posters up there, and I was starting to put up posters as well at that time. And, you know, I dug his work. I thought it was super cool. He was already, like, you know, doing art shows and doing the whole circuit, and mm-hmm. I thought that was really, you know, I admired that. And then when I moved down to L.A., I was working at the Vice store over in Silver Lake, and they hired me to paint this mural on this building, and they also hired Buff Monster, and they also hired Brandy Flower. And so mm-hmm. that was actually the first time that I had ever met him. We just showed up, you know, at this wall, and I painted my thing, and he painted his thing, and, you know, I don't know how well you know him, but I think a lot of people in the world, they're either really good friends with him or they think that he's a dick, you know, and I think that mm-hmm. there are elements that, you know, he is a hard person to kind of crack and get along with and be with, but, and so the first experience was actually really bad, you know, he was kind of bossy, and, you know, I was new and he was old, or, you know what I mean, like art mm-hmm. speaking. And so, yeah, it was kind of weird. I don't remember exactly why it was so awkward and not didn't go well, but didn't feel real good to me. And then some time passed, and I got an email or something, and he's like, yeah, I want you to come to my birthday party. And I'm like, what the f- – is this kind of some kind of, like, setup? Like, are they going to, like, try to, you know, beat me down? Like, well, this is weird, you know? But I was like, all right, fuck it, mm-hmm. I'll go. So I went to his birthday party, and we ended up, you know, talking all night long and just kind of created the relationship then and started, you know, doing postering missions on a regular basis together. And the cool thing is that, you know, when you're out doing it, you know, you're in the car driving around, you're looking for spots, and it sort of creates this, you know, interesting dialogue that goes into your life. So most of the time when we're in the car, we were talking about life stuff. We were talking about relationships. We were talking about, you know, how do we proceed? How do we make more money? You know, we throw back and forth ideas of whether it be brands or, you know, art projects or things like that. And it was really amazing, man. He's really dedicated. I really, really admire his work ethic. I admire his consistency. I admire his, you know, integrity. And he's a super good friend, and he showed me a lot. And over the years, he's become less of an asshole and more just super awesome.
Yeah, that's funny. You speak from a friend's perspective, which is good too. It's interesting even for myself and cracking different folks in terms of just getting interviews. It's as an academic entering into this world of street art in terms of sometimes getting a cold shoulder and saying, who are you? Why the heck do you want to talk to me? I've experienced that. On many levels, and I experienced that with him too, and he was actually very generous with his time with me. But at first, very standoffish, like, what the heck do you want? Generally, I mean, it's tough when you put yourself out in the public sphere. I mean, you get all kinds of nuts that kind of come up to you. So I know the filter always has to get a little bit thicker with the more exposure that you have. That's great. I mean, go ahead.
I was just going to say, that's what I'm trying to kind of embrace and get rid of, those, because I've spent so much time hiding and I've spent so much time not talking about my art and what I do. Like, I used to go to all the art shows all the time, and I would never introduce myself as Caesar. I would never talk about it. If someone were to ask me, I wouldn't, you know, I would avoid the conversation completely. And so now, after so long, I'm like, why? Like, what am I doing? I'm just going to go ahead and embrace it. You know, it is what it is. I've been doing it. Yes, this is me. Like, let's talk about it. So I'm just now kind of opening up to that. Matter of fact, it was funny. I was listening to Lord Jim's podcast, and he was talking about somebody, you know, running from him. I know he was talking about the New York artist, but I actually did that as well. You know, he walked up to me. It was, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was putting up a poster on Sunset or something like that. And I straight turned my back and walked the other way. He's like, no, wait, it's me. I'm like, I don't know who the fuck you are. Like, I'm not even talking
to you. Oh, that's funny. Yeah. And he's like the kindest guy, too. He probably feels like he's scared somebody.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Well, that's good stuff. Hey, so I really appreciate the time today. This has been really enjoyable. And, I mean, you're very reflective about your career and your place in it. So I feel like I learned a lot. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah. So is there a place that we can send folks to, you know, if they want to buy that print or learn more about your work, or just the best place to follow all that is Caesar?
The best place is, it's just caesarone.com. That's caesarone.com. And on there, right at the top, there's links to my Twitter that I'm pretty active on, to the Facebook, my design portfolio, and I just threw the shop link up there, I think yesterday or day before. It's just a link to a Big Cartel. It's just caesarone.bigcartel. And there's the one print, and there's some stickers.
Great. Well, definitely, we want to encourage folks to check that out, and if they see you in public, to say hi.
Maybe.
Maybe. Well, thanks again. I appreciate you taking the time. This has been really good.
Yeah, you're welcome.
For folks interested in future podcasts, you can visit us on the Stay Up Facebook page. But until then, we'll catch you next week. Thanks so much.